How fucking dare you? How dare you set fire to the cabin with us inside? After everything that I have done for you, after everything I did to keep you from killing yourself, how could you do this to me? I thought that we were friends.
I wouldn't hurt you, Misty.
Yeah, right.
I didn't burn down your cabin.
Prove it.
Yeah? How? With a high school mock trial at the end of the fucking world? I'm in a jail with birds, Misty. You know that this whole trial is just a farce. I've already lost.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Wendy.
And I'm Penny.
And I'm Daphne.
And this is Yellow Jackets WTF, episode 46.
This week, we'll be covering season 3, episode 4, 12 Angry Girls and One Drunk Travis.
All right. What are your overall thoughts about this? Penny?
I have mixed feelings about this episode. There were things about it that I really, really liked, and there were things about it that I thought were not great. But it moved the story forward, and there were some nice twists. So it's not like I'm going to give up on Yellow Jackets ever. It just wasn't. I'd give it like a 3 out of 5 stars.
How about you, Daph?
I actually really liked this episode. It was kind of, there was some really polarizing points to it, and it left me with more questions, specific questions about Shauna in both timelines. But I really liked it because it, I think part of it is because it was polarizing, because it did move the story along and it made me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like watching the trial and then the aftermath of the trial really got to me. And then the end of the episode, I was not expecting. And so I'm like, okay, so who could have done that? So my brain was like working overtime. And I sat with the episode for 3 or 4 days before I watched it again, because I didn't want that great. I needed to dissect it in my head first. Mm-hmm. In order to do that, I needed, you know, I had the one watch, I was able to percolate on it before I watched it again to really figure out, you know, where do we go from here? Because there's a lot of possibilities, and I'm excited to watch the next episode, but I'm also not excited because something bad could really happen. And I'm not sure I'm ready for that, so mm-hmm. We'll see.
It's Yellow Jackets. Yeah. Something bad will happen.
Always.
Yeah. I liked it a lot more on the second watch. I liked this episode. It's definitely not one of my favorites, but I do think on the second episode, on the second watch, I realized how impactful the events were going to be on the future. Mm-hmm. I was also pretty excited that this episode was about a trial, and we're so lucky to have Penny here, who's an attorney.
Yes.
Oh, yay!
Give us an insider's view of things. So I thought that was really interesting, and I know you saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming. And I thought it was very interesting that the prosecutor of this little trial in the wilderness also becomes, you know, an attorney, and I believe she was a prosecutor.
Yeah, I think she was a criminal attorney. I should have looked that up.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, too. All right. Should we move into our fucked up moment of the week?
Yeah.
Penny?
Melissa telling Shauna, like, you have power, and the sort of leering way that she was looking at Shauna throughout the whole jury deliberation and like the voting. And then after that, she had this hungry sort of creepy look on her face about how Shauna is powerful. And I agree with her that Shauna is powerful, but the way she said it and how excited she was about it was messed up. And
she
then
was bolstering her, you know? Yeah.
And Lottie saw that. And I feel like something's going to happen there. There's some, something interesting happening with Lottie and Shauna and Melissa. Messed up.
How about you, Daphne?
Kind of tacked on to Penny's. It was what happened just before that. Shauna's, like, commandeering of the jury vote. And despite the fact that six people were voting to acquit, she took control and almost forced them in some way to change their vote.
I mean,
that's incredibly powerful and shows that she has a lot of power. I think they've been very lucky to be under Natalie.
Yeah.
Because Natalie has ruled with more calm demeanor. She has a different style of leadership. I don't think Shauna, if Shauna becomes the leader, which I'm thinking after what happened with Natalie knowing about Coach being out there, I'm concerned that we're going to move away from this tranquil little place that they've built right back into doing some sort of ritual killing. And that, with the first killing being Coach Ben.
I mean, it certainly appears that's where we're moving towards. But this show does surprise us, and I like that.
Man, yeah. Yes, I agree.
Constantly.
I'm hoping. I'm trying to be hopeful, but it doesn't look good for him right now, especially because of Travis, that drawing.
Yeah. My fucked up moment of the week was, in what fucked up Black Mirror twist of fate does Coach Ben's fate end up in Misty's hands? Like, I loved it. The irony is just delectable.
Yeah.
But it was really fucked up that here he is, and this is who has to save him yet again.
Yeah. The look on his face when he realized that Misty had been assigned to be his defense attorney was like a combination of, well, I guess I'm just going to fucking die then. And here we go again. We're fucking Misty fucking Quigley. Like,
yes.
He's so tired of her. But I got to say, I think she did a bang up job.
Oh, my God. What I'm thinking is she's wasted being in the nursing home working.
Yeah.
Like, there is something more she could have done.
Yeah, she could have.
Because she's.
Yeah.
She's brilliant and multi-talented, but has just crap interpersonal skills.
Yeah.
Like, that's what keeps her from being a much more powerful person in the world. Is like, I'm sure that there have been times in her life when she was passed up for things because people were like, oh, we don't want Misty fucking Quigley, you know, to be our manager. We don't want Misty fucking Quigley to be on the committee. We don't want, you know, because she's just awful. In a
but
delightful
way. I feel like there's more, based on what we saw during the trial, I feel like there's more with Shauna that gets her to the point that she is now. And I'm starting to think that maybe when they did come home, she wasn't super excited about it because she had power out there. And I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I have no idea.
Well, what we know now
for us, but
I guess we're jumping into points. We know now that she did something after they came back that was also reprehensible, right? Jackie says that in the freezer. She's like, it's not just about the wilderness. It's also about what you did when you came back. And I'm like, I wrote in my notes, God damn it, I want to see that timeline. Like, I'm so, like, just I'm dying to see
and
that
And I think
timeline.
We will. I think we will. Yeah.
Eventually, but like, it's killing me.
I
that
know.
Was the biggest tease ever.
There are just different nuggets like that. There's another point. I think one of you mentioned it last week or the week before where we talked about Thaisa and Shauna saying that Natalie It was because of Natalie that they were able to get out.
Yeah.
That they owed her a lot.
They owed her a lot. So now I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I want to know what did Natalie do?
Mm-hmm.
Is she the one that walked out of the woods? I don't know.
Did anybody walk out of the woods? Were they just discovered? That's what we don't know.
Can you imagine being like a hiker or someone who finds these girls?
Yeah.
It's so terrifying.
I'd be running.
There's a tribe of teenage girls in the woods eating people.
It wouldn't make sense. It would sound like a horror movie.
Yeah. People would be like,
really?
And the Blair Witch Project said what? Like,
yeah.
I guess this was pre-Blair Witch, but still.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. This episode was directed by Jennifer Morrison, who is also an actress. She was on Once Upon a Time and House.
Oh, yeah, I know that actress.
Yeah, so she's done multiple episodes of Dr. Death, as well as an episode of Euphoria and Tracker. And according to what I read online, she's doing this episode in episode 7 of Yellow Jackets. And I really like the way the things were shot.
Oh, yeah. The visual storytelling was actually really strong in this episode. I thought there was a lot of really great camera stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Points, Penny?
Yeah, I'll just start right off with the trial. And the title of the episode, 12 Angry Girls and One Drunk Travis, is a play on a very famous 1957 film called 12 Angry Men. And that movie is a legal drama. It's directed by Sidney Lumet. And it's a critique of the American justice system, specifically juries. And it tells us it's all entirely a story about jury deliberation. You don't see the trial at all. You see the 12 jurors, men, because it's the 50s, in a room deliberating the evidence. And the film it does this really amazing job of showing how personal biases, personal experiences, prejudices all come into the jury room with you. And they color how you interpret the facts, and they color the decisions that you make. And they go through every juror in the movie and sort of dig into their various motivations. And what ends up happening is that Henry Fonda, who's the one holdout voting not guilty, persuades every single juror to vote not guilty. And just like in this episode, at one point, you know, the first few people that he convinces, it's very substantive. But then the power of the group sort of drags the rest of them. There's like a certain number of people that are like, well, if everyone else thinks it's guilty or not guilty, I'll go in that direction too. And I've actually served on a jury and I saw this happen. There were people who were like, I don't know, but 10 of you think guilty. So, and I was like, oh, that's disturbing.
I have served on a jury too, where it was very obvious that the state did not have enough evidence. Like, you could see something probably happened, but they definitely did. It was murder too.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely did not have enough evidence. Like, their evidence was like people that admitted they were on drugs at the time that say they saw a flash. That was their evidence. So it was pretty unanimous when we went to vote, but there was one person that was like, well, I think she did it. I think she had something to do with it. And we're like trying to explain it to her, like, yeah, but you can't just go by what you think. You have to go by the evidence and, you know, reasonable doubt. And she was like, she held out for like 2 hours. She was like, but I just think she did it. I just think she did it. So,
yeah, the jury system is kind of whack. There's a lot about our adversarial justice system that I have issues with. And the only thing that gives me sort of calm about it is that it's so much better than all the other justice systems that have existed in the world, where there was like trial by combat or trial by being drowned or, you know, trial by like somebody reading your bones, like all the weird ways that people
That's
have
true.
Been like convicted, you know, through the history of humanity. Like, at least with courts, there are rules and, And in theory, there's a judge who keeps things fair. And I do think Natalie did a great job as judge. I actually was pretty impressed with all the girls on the trial. I was upset about the voting. And this is what upset me about the episode and made me say 3 out of 5 stars, is that 12 Angry Men is very specifically about jury deliberation. They used the title, and so what they gave us was a trial and then a series of votes. There was no deliberation. And in between the votes, they just were like, okay, vote again, without any discussion of what they had all just witnessed, of the evidence, or time to think. It was the weirdest way of coming up with a verdict. I hated it.
In fact, Natalie went after Shauna when she was deliberating.
Yeah, she's like, no, we're just voting. And it's like, why are you doing that? That opened it up to Shauna basically just like intimidating with her force of will until people changed their minds, which is not justice. And
No.
the way that they were so clear on other aspects of legal procedure made me be like, don't you know that juries deliberate? And there also was no opening and no closings. Like there were things that were missing, and that seemed like if they had known enough to do some of the things they were doing, that they should have known about those things as well. And as a lawyer, it just like made me a little crazy. I was like, where's the deliberation? What's happening?
Right, especially Ty, who seemed to really have an interest in keeping it real.
Yeah. And I
I
also
would
think it
have
would have been
thought.
fascinating to do what they did in the movie 12 Angry Men and like be like have Shauna be like, you know, Travis, why are you voting not guilty? Like, you know, and drill into him. Like that would have been a really interesting scene. And what we got instead was sort of this like, I don't know, primitive, like, just do what I want you to do. It made the point about Shauna being powerful, but it was such a missed opportunity to really dig into people's motivations and how everybody felt about the coach.
Yeah, because when he was on the stand telling his story about he didn't want to be a coach, he didn't want to be a teacher, and then how he changed and connected and protected them from
Yeah.
themselves in some ways, he really won people over. Even Mari, he won over. And no, when you're doing voting like that, people are not just going to change their mind if you ask them to vote again. You have to give them a reason to.
Right.
And that's
Yeah.
where deliberating.
It should have been a secret ballot as well, because the forces of the personalities were so strong in that group that,
And I don't think
and we
Jen
saw it.
voted.
Yeah. No,
Jen
Jen did
didn't vote.
vote after Melissa like poked her
Yes, in the
for the
last
guilty vote.
round.
No, the first, it was, I think it was the first round. No,
I don't
so
think so.
I'll have to, nah.
I
I
watched
only
it.
watched it 4 times.
I watched, like, I slowed, not didn't slow it, but I watched it closely. And I know she got her to vote in the last round because this is why. Three votes were guilty and six votes not guilty, which technically is two thirds.
Of the people who were voting, but there were 13 people. So
But
2/3 of 13 would be 9. Well,
there weren't 13 because remember, Coach isn't voting, Misty is not voting,
Ty's
Natalie
not
is not
voting.
voting,
Right.
Ty's not voting.
So
So
there were
they had
four
10
people
people.
not voting.
So there were
Okay.
10 people voting. And because Jen didn't vote, it was six to
I didn't
three.
think Mari was voting either in the first couple rounds.
She voted not guilty in the first
Oh,
round, I
she did.
think.
Okay.
But she was like the last person to put her hand up, but she was in the first round. I think Jen voted in the first round guilty. I just really wanted to hear from more people why they thought Coach was guilty. It just, like I said, it's such a missed opportunity to have to dig into a little bit of like, well, I always hated Coach, and that's, you know, why I think he's guilty or whatever. Really, really, really frustrating. But it had a lot of highlights. Misty was, she did an amazing job defending Coach. And I was so impressed with how she approached him at first with the like, how could you do this to us? I thought we were friends and like slapping him and all that stuff until she got him to be honest with her. It was very manipulative, very Misty, but it worked because it got him to be vulnerable with her in a way that she could then believe that he was not guilty and could then defend him. And I was like, God, she's like 10 steps ahead. That was all an act. She put that on in order to get this reaction from him. Oh my God, Misty should be like a nuclear scientist. She's so freaking smart. Ben had one of the best lines I've ever heard in my life. I'm in a jail with birds. Like, it just sums up the whole situation.
That was one of my quotes. He's like, Misty, I'm in a jail with birds.
Yeah.
And him looking around at the ducks was like, how did I get here?
Everything is so crazy and messed up. Like, how can this be true?
Yes.
I thought that Mari's testimony was particularly interesting to listen to, and the way she sort of reasoned through things on the stand was great. And of course, Ben's speech was amazing. I'll leave that for you to talk about, Wendy.
No, go, look, we could go for it. I mean, I've got plenty.
And I thought it was so interesting when Lottie eventually changes her vote from not guilty to guilty. First, she and Shauna have this eye contact moment, and then we see a vision of like wind in the trees or
Yeah.
and like some woo-woo music. And I was like, is that Lottie's vision? Is that something Lottie and Shauna are sharing? Are we supposed to interpret that as the wilderness telling Lottie that Shauna is this power, that she should do what Shauna wants? And then I was also like, because right then, after Lottie changed her vote, Travis and Akilah changed their votes. And I was like, did all of them have the vision together? Like,
No.
it was just Lottie, right?
I mean,
I don't
so I'm
know.
going to take the non-supernatural turn of events, and I think Lottie is lost. She's not the leader. She's not getting what she wants from Travis. She feels like the wilderness is trying to tell her something, and she can't hear it. And she's extremely frustrated and lost. We've seen her in these last couple episodes floundering. And I feel like when Shauna did that for her, she wants it to mean something. So that's why she changed her vote. And then when she changed her vote, Travis and Akilah also, because Travis is loyal to Lottie before anything else. And Akilah, I think was really impacted by last week's fever dreams, and she's starting to believe in Lottie too, and so she changed her vote too. And I don't think it's supernatural. I mean, it could be, right? That's
Yeah.
the whole thing with this show. You just don't know. It teeters that line. But I think if you're going to take the non-supernatural vote, I think that's what happened. Like
Yeah.
Lottie's lost, she changed her vote, and then those followed, and there you have it.
She's allying herself with the power that is Shauna, which is so interesting.
Which she thinks is the right thing to do.
Yeah, because Lottie always thinks that she knows the right thing to do. Always.
I
She
think she
doesn't.
wants to.
Yeah. At the end of the scene, they do this beautiful camera thing where Natalie is saying, like, all right, that means it's guilty. And the camera is focused on Shauna's face. And then it pulls back to reveal that Shauna is standing at the head of this long table, and she's slightly separated from the other girls, and she's backlit. So she just looks very dramatic and very powerful. And Natalie, on the other hand, is on the side of the table, facing away from the camera, like 90 degrees away from the camera, and she's crowded in with all the other girls. And Shauna's power in that scene was so palpable. And I was like, it's going to be like 48 hours and she's going to have the leadership. Like, she's ousting Natalie. It's happening. Like, and I agree with what you were saying earlier, Daphne. I don't think Shauna is going to be a good fucking leader. She
Neither
is
do I.
emotional and vindictive and petty. Like, Natalie was doing a good job of trying to like keep things chill and fair. And
That's not how
Shauna's gonna
Shauna's
mess
gonna
everything
be.
up.
She's hate and rage filled.
And
She
also,
is.
like, when people were like, we don't know that Coach burned down the cabin, her response was always, we could have died. That was such a horrible thing. It's like nobody is disagreeing that burning the cabin being burned down was a horrible thing, but she at no point even entertained the idea that, like, we don't actually know who did it. Like, she was just like, it's so bad, we have to kill Ben. And she never thought outside of that at all.
And I think she truly believes that. Like, she was so convincing. I could see how people could be swayed. She's so convincing. She absolutely believes that she is right.
Yeah. And it just reminds me that last week or 2 weeks ago, Lottie said to Callie, "We're all afraid of your mother." And it's like, yeah, they have been for a long time, too.
I think that was a given when you saw her face and you saw them all raise their hands. You could tell, I don't think they wanted to.
But Shauna's force of her, like, will and her personality in that moment was just so overwhelming.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by it as much as I am frightened by it.
I go back to Akilah, something Lottie said to Akilah in the last episode when they're having the fever dream. You have to help her or we'll die. Just makes me think that if Shauna's the leader, there are people that are going to be in on it. Like they're going to be for it because of it. Because of that shared experience.
And
So,
that power, people are drawn to power. We've seen it in real life and we're seeing it on the show.
Absolutely.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
So Ben's testimony, I thought it was so beautiful.
So I'm actually not going to talk about Ben's testimony, but we can go there. But I think what stood out to me, especially on second watch, was like more than the fate of Ben, which I am very invested in, obviously, but more than that, this episode is all about the truths that are coming out through this trial and how that's going to change the dynamics of this group permanently. And I just went through a list of like truths that hadn't really been spoken until now. Misty starts by accusing Shauna of being ruthless. And Nat just automatically agrees, like publicly, like we're just saying it, Shauna's ruthless. Misty pokes at Shauna until she practically admits that yes, she wanted to be the leader and was resentful that Nat had become the leader. Misty pokes at all the girls. She's masterful. She accuses Ty of only pretending to believe in Lottie's woo-woo to keep Van happy, which was true in the beginning. I do think she came to a place of believing it for herself as well, but that was true. And she accuses Shauna, Nat, and Melissa of not believing, which I think is also true. She gets Lottie to admit that yes, it could have been any of them that burnt the cabin down, which had a lot of power because as long as Lottie was saying that, Travis and Akilah and several of the others were going to fall right into line. And then under Shauna's guidance, Ty gets Natalie to admit that she knew where Coach Ben was all along, which is a huge blow to Natalie and her leadership. So I think, like, yes, this trial is about Ben, and yes, we're all wrapped up in what's going to happen to Ben. But win or lose, this trial was going to change everything for them.
Yes, I agree with you. I
I think
think
that.
that trials are a popular narrative device for exactly this reason, because it gives the writers a way to force people to say things to each other that they would not normally say to each other. It's great for drama.
And I think that we got to learn so much more about Ben than we had at all. I mean, this really gave us a look into who he is. Whereas before, I just thought, well, he that what a jerk. He didn't help Shauna. She needed him. He's the adult. What? Why aren't you helping? And all the way that what we've seen in the first two seasons anyway, and part of the season, we got to see who he really is and what, you know, he went through. And I like that he calls them out and said, "You chopped my leg off. I was afraid." Yeah. Like, I don't blame him. And I felt so much honesty coming from him during his speech, because how did he know he wasn't going to end up being chopped up? I mean, he didn't even really know what they were doing to decide who to go after.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning of that speech, he comes to it with, he doesn't care. He can't even muster up the strength to fight for himself. He just doesn't care. He's to the point where he's like, just put me out of my misery. But Misty really gets out of him all of these things that he starts talking about. And she does it so well. She's so great. All of the acting is just incredible for these young actors and actresses. And little by little, you kind of see him reanimate and start to be sincere and earnest and start to fight again, you know, for his life.
Yeah, he starts addressing them directly. He says he apologizes to Shauna. Mm-hmm. You know, he tells them about his parents being shitty people. I both enjoyed his speech because I was like, oh, we're learning all this great stuff about Ben. And then I was like, oh, no, that means he dies soon. Like, if this was Walking Dead, he dies in the next episode. And I kind of feel like he's going to die in the next episode of this show. Yeah.
I like that he talked about them being underdogs and being annoyingly fucking relentless. And he liked that about them.
He respected it.
He did. They worked hard, but then he protected them at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Once getting, you know, they got drunk and he pretended that he had food poisoning.
And he had done all the vomiting.
And done all
in
the
seven rooms. That's insane. Nobody should have believed him.
And then, you know, protected Thaisa, not going and telling her parents about her and Van. And even Misty putting her on the team because he knew she'd get hurt.
That was really sweet.
That was so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And his family, you know, he was honest about it. His family sucked. And when they crashed, they chopped his, you know, the girls chopped his leg off. And he was scared that he was going to be next and that they didn't need him anymore. He was dealing with that because I can remember looking back in season one, where you could feel that from him, where he just didn't know where he fit anymore because he was missing his leg and he didn't feel like he could be the leader or protect them. Even though he was helping them with the gun and the different things he was doing, he did have an impact, whether they want to believe it or not. He did try to do things with them at times to help them be able to survive.
Over and time, he just got less and less involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't the leader that he could have been, or that even maybe he felt he should have been to them.
Yeah.
And he apologized to that. And he apologized to Shauna for not helping her with her baby. And I felt like that was sincere.
Me too.
Yeah. He said he may not understand their belief system, but he didn't try to kill them. Mm-hmm. And I believe that. I don't think he did.
I was wondering that. Like, I was wondering two things. Number one, do you think he burned down the cabin?
No. He convinced me when he saved them from the gas last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, there's no reason for him to save them in that scenario if he's not, like, a good person.
And right. I'm surprised that no one brought that up.
Yeah. Right, that's true.
Like that wasn't brought up.
Well, they sort of did when they talked about Mari. Like, he could have just left Mari in the pit, or he could have just, but yeah.
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 And my other question was, if you had been a juror on that trial, what would your vote have been?
Not guilty.
I like to think that I would have voted not guilty and stuck to my guns.
Yeah.
But I don't know. With Shauna looking at you like that, it'd be hard not to do.
I I mean, we've seen a lot of evil in adult Shauna with the whole killing Adam thing. I think there's more. There's definitely more. There's definitely more evil there that we haven't seen or don't know about yet.
I had a conversation with Jason about, I guess last week I said something like, you know, Misty is, I don't think I said these words, but she's an agent of chaos, right? She can't stop stirring shit up.
Yes.
Right? She's always like, things are quiet. I got to go make some drama. And whereas Shauna is more reactive. She's trying to have a quiet life.
She's making breakfast.
Shit comes to her and then she reacts very strongly. Very, very strongly. And I think Jason thought I was making a moral comparison, like that Shauna's somehow better person than Misty because she's reactive instead of like a shit stirrer. But the point I was trying to make, and I want everyone to understand this, is that I find them scary in different ways, and I'm not sure which one is scarier. And I was comparing them in terms of, like, if I had to deal with this person, who would be easier to deal with? And I think I'd rather be faced with Shauna because I feel like you could avoid pissing her off.
Yes.
Whereas with Misty, there's no fucking telling what she's going to do.
Yeah. No, I don't want to be in Misty's radar at all. Good, bad, friend, enemy. No.
No. I don't want to be anywhere near her. Yeah. Whereas I think you can have a relationship with adult Shauna and not get murdered or whatever, because she doesn't seek it out. That's
although her record's not great.
No, I mean, she's done a lot of horrible stuff. I'm just thinking
like Adam,
the way she approaches it is really different.
And now Lottie,
Well, we don't know if she killed Lottie.
We don't. I'm just saying, like, any one of them to happen around her.
Yeah. Ty and Van were also in Manhattan at the same time.
Yep. Yeah, I've got some notes on that.
Yeah, it could have been.
I did like a mental tracking of who was where and when, trying to figure out who was it.
Yeah. The only person I'm sure didn't kill Lottie is Misty, because she seemed genuinely surprised when she saw the picture and got the text from Walter.
Yeah. I mean, Walter would be my number one suspect. Yeah.
Walter's definitely on the list of suspects.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Or a new character.
That we haven't met yet.
Yeah.
We seem to be meeting new characters this season. Some new ones, and it's cool.
Yeah. Sorry. We got a little tangenty there.
Is that good for the trial?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Daphne, give us what you got.
Right. So I'm going to go right into the ending of the episode. And since we already, you know, touched on it, we might as well talk about it. Who killed Lottie? The fact that Lottie is dead, I was not expecting that. Yeah. I mean, I thought the trial and seeing the paper with, you know, what the outcome was going to be was enough of like, of a shock value. Mm-hmm. But then to end the episode with Lottie dying, again, just shows how the showrunners just are completely, you know, they're focused on telling the story in their way. And so this is what we get.
Yeah. I like that it's unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. I wasn't that surprised. I don't know why. I mean, I felt like something big was going to happen with her, because she just seemed to be just floundering, lost, and creating chaos.
Yeah, but I thought we were going to see more creating chaos.
Yeah.
I really thought we were going to see more of her interacting with Callie.
So she was only on one season and a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought we would have only had her for that amount of time.
The crime scene where she was found, looks exactly like the vision she had in season one, episode six, when she was being baptized by Laura Lee. And she saw that vision of like a long hallway, and then she turns a corner, and then there's all those candles lining the steps, and she goes to the top of the steps, and there's like a candle altar. I spent a lot of time going back and forth between
this episode and
season one, episode six, and comparing. And the lighting is really different, and it's hard to see in the current day crime scene exactly what's going on the left of the screen. Everything happening on the right that we can see looks exactly like the vision.
Absolutely.
The left is just a little obscured by shadows. It was hard to tell if it was identical. And also in the vision, there was water on the floor. And so we didn't know what the floor looked like, where the body was, obviously.
Yeah.
Man, did she look beautiful splayed out.
She did.
Like if you're going to get killed, like do it in an attractive, like model pose.
I don't think she could look bad. She's so beautiful.
So gorgeous.
So at the beginning of that episode, or at least where she starts the episode, she goes and gets money, which makes me go, then why the hell were you trying to stay at Shauna's?
I don't know if she was getting money or... because they don't hand her money. They hand her a receipt of some kind. I think she transferred something. I think that she moved a lot of money, like digitally, not physically, while she was in that bank. Because they showed the receipt. They sort of focused on the fact that it was a receipt, but we couldn't see what it said.
Okay.
The camera also sort of lingered on her body long enough to show us that she was wearing that white satiny dress at the bank, and again when she's looking in the mirror later, the same dress, and that's what she's wearing in the crime scene. Importantly, in the vision in season one, she was wearing a long flowing white dress. And remember, she was like, we had shots of her from the back as she was going up the stairs, and the dress had like a really long train, and so it was this really beautiful image of this like long white train down the steps and into the water. So she's wearing a similar dress, and it's a similar scene with the candles and everything.
And I don't think she had the necklace on, right?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Oh, the necklace? No, yeah. She had necklace on. I wonder where the necklace she was wearing.
Is.
I think like, Shauna has it.
Shauna ripped it off Callie, and that's the last we saw of it.
Yeah. I'm sure
Shauna
has
like went back to look. I wanted to see if she was wearing the necklace, but she was. Yeah. I don't think she was.
If Shauna had murdered her, maybe she would have put the necklace on her. But I mean, that's too big of a clue.
Yeah.
And Shauna's not dumb.
Yeah.
She's
crazy.
Crazy, but she's not stupid.
She's not stupid. I mean, Lottie standing there looking in the mirror and saying, I understand that I hurt you. I have a lot to apologize for. And I'm just wondering, who is she going to talk to that she's practicing this? Is she going to her community to apologize to them for everything, or is she going to talk to someone that we don't know?
Right. Or was she gonna apologize to Shauna or Van or Ty or Misty?
Right.
It could be anybody. What I really liked about that scene is that it shows how practiced and rehearsed Lottie is in her communications. Like, you know, the way that she floats through the world, adult Lottie, like when she was at her compound and with her cult and everything, it's like she's so graceful, and the words that come out of her mouth always sound slightly poetic and like, you know, a little bit elevated. And it's like, it's not spontaneous. She's not just graceful like that. It's practiced. It's a skill set. And I think that's really fascinating for somebody who was a cult leader to like recognize that.
Yeah. She does get a call from Thaisa earlier. But I don't feel that we should include that here. I think that when
that's
we talk
part
about
of Ty's story.
It's true. Yes, that story. Yeah. That was we'll talk about that in a minute. But we're saying goodbye to Lottie.
Yeah.
Adult Lottie anyway.
Adult
Maybe she'll
Lottie.
Be a ghost. Maybe she'll join Jackie in the freezer and be a ghost.
You know what? I have to commend them. They are bringing Ella Purnell back for things, and I'm happy about that.
Me too. Because, she's great.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And I like what we learned from her scenes in the freezer with Shauna.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I'm at. Bye, Lottie. Thank you.
Yeah.
And how much guilt Shauna has lived with all these years, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pain. All right, Penny, next point.
Adult tie and adult van. This was a runner-up for my fucked up moment of the week. Go on a murder mission in Manhattan where they decide to, like, put a card on the ground and see if anyone picks it up. And then they're going to kill that person? Like, how did they get from the wilderness wants more to keep Van alive to let's go find an innocent person to murder? Like, that's like, I kind of want to see the conversation where they're like, I know what we'll do. We'll go into the city and we'll get a deck of cards. Like, they had to plan that.
I don't think that Van was fully on board with that.
No, she wasn't. She was definitely, what's the word I want?
Placating?
Hesitant.
Yeah.
Ty, earlier, like you said, she calls Lottie and she's like, what did you mean when you said that to Van? And I'm like, Ty, Lottie, are you still in the hospital? Are you okay? I have a question for you. Like, nothing. She launches right into this, like, I need something from you, which is so self-centered. And everything about her wanting to save Van is so needy and desperate. Like, yeah. She keeps saying, I need more time with you. I can't lose you. It's not about Van. It's about what Van does for her,
mm-hmm.
and about her real need to escape from and not think too hard about how much she has torpedoed her carefully constructed life. Right. It's been ruined. Like, her wife left her. She's not allowed to talk to her son. She's lost her job. Like, Van is all she has left. And she's clinging to her like a life raft. And it's crazy that she wanted to go murder that guy. She just like opened the door and was like about to walk into his apartment and kill him. Mm-hmm. That was at one point, Van says, I think this is the stupidest idea that we've ever had. And I'm like, yes, this is the stupidest idea you've ever had. I hated every minute of them stalking that guy.
But well, I like the way it ended up, you know? And I was thinking, like, for Van was the one who really believed in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. She's dying. She has terminal cancer. Even I know we think she's in remission, but like, if anybody should want to do it, you would think it would be her, but she wasn't fully on board. And she's the reason why they turned away, because I think if she hadn't of
Ty was going to go through with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ty, I mean, Van has to tell Ty, I want to live, but not like this.
Yeah.
Because Ty is insistent upon doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it almost comes across as you want to keep Van alive for yourself, not for her to be alive.
Absolutely.
And that I get, like, when you love someone and they're going through something like this, you'll do anything to keep them alive. But it does come across as more selfish, which is not. It just, to me, came across more selfish than
it's selfish.
Yeah.
And she's such a driven person. And now she's got all of her ambition and drive and everything dedicated to Van. She mm-hmm. doesn't have anything else going on in her life. And that is a huge burden for Van to carry. Yes. When she's already dealing with the end of her life, is to be like the everything for, you know, her high school sweetheart who dumped her and left her.
And 6 months ago didn't know she existed. I mean, she did know, but she wasn't doing anything about it.
Yeah, she wasn't being in touch with her. And
yeah.
And, you know, the pretzels and the carriage ride was all really sweet and cute. But I kept reminding myself, like, they were about to murder some dude a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Like, I you can't get swept up in the romance of this moment too much, because Ty is a loose cannon with like only one objective, and that's keeping Van alive. It's in the measurement of who's the scariest, like, Ty is rising, because mm-hmm. like, she's willing to just murder some dude she doesn't even know,
because she thinks the wilderness wants her to.
Right. On the chance that it will help Van in some mm-hmm. mystical way. That's
and are we sure bananas. She didn't do that? She could very easily have gone back.
They separated, and yeah, We don't know what she was doing during that time.
I didn't even think about that.
She could have killed Lottie. She's on my list. She's on my list for potential, like. Yeah.
They were all separated at some point in the day, and they were all in Manhattan.
Yikes.
Yep.
So we don't know who killed Lottie. I mean, I think they're pointing, they're sort of hinting that it's Shauna, but we don't know.
Well, we know where Shauna was, right?
Well, she went to get the cat in Manhattan.
Yeah. same place.
Yeah. They were all in Manhattan. And that cat thing was crazy, right? So, like, did she go into Manhattan to murder Lottie and then get the cat as a cover story? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but I feel like this show does this to us to make us think about what fantastical thing could have happened.
Yeah, or Lottie could have killed herself.
Absolutely.
The only one that didn't seem to be in the area was Misty, right? Because Misty left work and went home. We saw that.
And when she got that text from Walter, she seemed, I think, genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
And then she opened the picture and was like, what? Like,
it's not unusual that Misty's the innocent. Yeah.
And then there's Walter. And I mean, you can say, well, what would his motive be? Well,
he doesn't seem to need much.
He doesn't. And I feel like if he killed Lottie, it would affect the others and maybe bring them back together, which would make Misty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wants to make Misty happy.
Yeah.
I think Walter's a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we know Walter's a psychopath. Bad guy.
He's a bad
guy.
Yes.
But I think he's a bad guy for them.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see this ending.
No.
This may not end well for him.
No, I wouldn't want to be someone who killed one of Misty's friends.
No.
Even though she doesn't seem to particularly like Lottie, it's still like she can dislike Lottie, he can't.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Like, they're her
friends. If those aren't her friends, no one is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
All right.
Misty makes me sad.
Yeah. Daphne?
Okay, so I want to talk about Jeff and the good karma bus that he was on in this episode.
Yes.
I feel like it gave us a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he went to WikiHow and figured out things. Once they figured out that it wasn't the brakes, like, it was a bad brake booster.
Right,
but Shauna
cut the brakes.
Yeah, Shauna is still convinced that Misty did it. But that, if you look at that and think about that, that goes way back to how she was about Coach. She was convinced he did it, and no one was going to convince her otherwise.
Yep.
But I love that Jeff had his own moments in this, especially, honestly, even though he stole the thunder from Randy during the bingo, I thought it was amazing that he made friends with all the residents at the retirement home. And
it was adorable. Let's be honest. Like, didn't you want to, like, give Jeff a little hug? Even Misty was like, oh, look, Jeff's getting along with the old people. That's cool. I don't hate him.
It was adorable.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah.
He at the beginning of that, he says, we're in a serious karma deficit here. We need to do some good. I need to do some good. And so he starts, like, trying to find things to donate and try to get the family to do things. And Callie is not wanting to go do anything. And I love that when they get to Misty's, the retirement home that Misty works at, and Shauna realizes it, Jeff, of course, had no idea. And he seems a little surprised that Misty and Shauna are kind of having they don't seem to be getting along. And I'm just like, you're so perfectly oblivious to the fact that your wife and Misty are complicated, scary people.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. Callie has the other best line of the episode besides I'm in a jail with birds. When she says, bring me back a karma to go plate.
Yep.
And I was like, was great. My God, that's like the most essential Callie line ever. Yeah. It's like flippant. It's clever. It's dismissive. It's fully understanding the situation. It's funny. It's so Callie.
So Callie. And we didn't get a lot of Callie in this episode.
Yeah, she was just in that one little bit.
But you know, Jeff volunteers them to go and do this, and Misty can't stand it that Shauna is enjoying cooking, because that's what she's doing. She does it at home, and Misty thought for sure she would hate it, and Shauna seems to be fine with it, which is where we get the knife in the back scene.
Yeah, we finally get to know what that was all about.
Which is kind of, I think, what we thought it was, which is kind of like a, I wish I could do this, but I can't thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then they end up, because Misty just gets so upset, she goes and gets this paper out of Svetlana's room, the resident. She goes and gets this white piece of paper and takes some of her puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that.
That's so Misty.
That is
so petty. So Misty. So petty.
I was thinking that her little petty revenges that she gets on people like that are akin to Lottie's shoplifting, mm-hmm. in that it's like a release valve for her evil. She's like, I'll just do a little tiny evil thing and then I won't need to kill anyone today.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So Misty leaves, goes off, and we don't really know where. I mean, she gets home, but it's dark out, so I don't think she went to Manhattan. I can't tell you for sure that she didn't. But I liked Ace of Base, the sign was playing while they were in the kitchen, so mm-hmm. that was a cool, like, throwback song. Mm-hmm. And then Shauna ends up in the freezer, stuck, chatting with Jackie. And yeah.
And it was the version of Jackie from when she was talking to her in the meat shed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was the same outfit and the like frost in her hair and everything.
Yep. She kind of taunted her and said, you're going to be frozen and left for dead.
Like,
which is what happened to to Jackie. And then she also says, someone's trying to hurt you for what you did, not just for the wilderness, but when you got back. So now I'm just like, I really like you, Penny. I want that timeline so I can mm-hmm. see what it was like for them when they came back.
It seems like they were still all friends for a while. Yeah. Van and Ty talked about going to their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they were all friends for a while.
Remember in season one, when Shauna was in Jackie's bedroom and she picked up the journal and she was leafing through it, and lots of clever people noticed that some of the entries, things written in the journal, would have taken place after they were in the plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
I have always had this theory that Shauna, for a time when they got back, was like, oh, I'm Jackie. And just like tried to live Jackie's life instead of her own life. Like pretended to be Jackie or something. Or was mm-hmm. delusional and thought she was Jackie.
And why not? And this is another thing about Shauna. Why not go to school? Why not go and have a fresh start by going to school?
I have a theory that she married Jeff because she thought that he has to be the great love of my life. Otherwise, why would I have slept with him behind my best friend's back, and eventually we would have had a falling out about it and it would have ended up with her dying. And so in her head, somehow she dedicated her life to Jeff to make up for that.
She talked about it a little bit when she said, when she was at the retreat, she said, like, you do it out of guilt and shame. And then she talked, so, like, Callie's probably 17, 18 at the most. So it was probably a few years before they had Callie. And she talked about how she didn't really want to have a baby after what she had been through, but she did.
For Jeff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves quite a few years that we don't really have accounted for. In all their timelines.
And I really want more of a conversation between her and Jeff about the baby that was lost. We haven't really had that, and he must know about it.
I want to know when he read the journals.
Yeah.
Like, how long ago? How long has he known all that stuff?
Yeah.
And then Shauna, her good karma thing, she goes to multiple shelters in New York to find a cat that looks like the cat on the poster.
It's kind of silly because you would know if it was your cat or not.
I don't know. There are stories of people finding identical cats and thinking it's their cat, and then their cat actually does come home, and they're like, why do I have two twin cats?
I know someone that happened to.
Yeah.
And it's really bizarre. The cat's name was Cheddar, and I can't remember if she named the other one Cheeto or how it ended up, but she ended up with two cats that looked the same.
That's really funny. I like to think that I would be able to tell if it was my cat, but like,
oh,
honestly,
Pixel would let you know.
He looks like every other little black cat, you know? Like, it wouldn't be hard to get me a fake Pixel. The personality would clue me in, I think, but...
That's how we ended up with our orange Tomcat. My dad had seen him around. He was, like, hanging around outside of... And my dad started feeding him on the porch, but he still wouldn't come near him. And then my dad went to the vet one day and saw a poster, and he's like, oh, my God, that's the cat. Mm-hmm. So he calls the guy. The guy comes out, brings a trap. They trap the cat. My dad's like, I am the best guy ever. Calls this guy up. The guy comes and goes, yeah, that's not my cat.
So but then, now it's your cat?
That's now it's our cat. And he lived with us for 10 years.
That's, I mean, your dad did do all the right things. Yes. He just didn't happen to have the right cat.
Yes, right. And it was a better life for him because he was like living in, he was feral.
Yeah. That's a hard life for a kitty cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Jeff tries to point out that, you know, it's a duplicate cat to lie to the family about their missing cat. She kind of hits back at him with, please don't give me notes on my comma, which I thought was kind of fun. And then he thinks it's thoughtful, but I have to wonder, are these people going to know that that's not their cat? And then what's going to happen to the cat? Are they going to have a cat? You know what? That might make Shauna a better person. She may need a cat.
Yeah, she should have a cat.
Yeah,
she should have a cat. It might help her because...
Also, that was a huge cat.
Yeah.
That cat was gigantic.
And fluffy.
I was like, it must be like part Maine Coon or part Norwegian forest cat. That cat
he did
huge.
Look like a Maine Coon. Yeah. Like he had it in him. Yeah. I kind of think they left it as... That was going to be their cat. That's what I thought.
I hope so. Because I think she will be a better person if she has a cat.
So I think in love without having the same level of fear of rejection or loss that you have with a child. Right? Like, that's the great thing about animals is they give even people who have a lot of trauma something to love them that doesn't know anything about the trauma and doesn't care about it because it's just a more pure kind of just love. That's it. There's something very, there's a reason why pets are healers, right? Like it heals people.
Absolutely.
It's my emotional support cat. He's right here.
Penny, give us your notes. Note.
One of my favorite things about these girls and something I really admire is their sort of we can do it attitude about things. And they were like, we need to have a trial. All right, let's set up furniture. Let's put together costumes. Let's develop a ritual. Like, they're so get up and go about everything. I'm very impressed by it. They put a lot of effort into stuff. They're good at crafts. Like,
they're very committed.
Yeah, like the outfits that they put together for them to be like the judge and the lawyers and Van as the bailiff. Like, I was like, wow, you guys really went all out. That's awesome. There's also part of me that's like, where are you finding all these resources? But whatever.
I know. You have to suspend. But I think like these were all elite athletes. Like they were going to nationals. That energy and activity and that drive, that had to go somewhere because they're not in that any longer.
Yeah. And I remember in like right after the crash that, you know, they had to do a lot of things to survive immediately and that they had this real like team way of approaching it, right? They'd be like, come on, girls. And then they'd all get together and do a thing together. Like they lifted up the plane wing and, they, you know, there's a lot of splinters in their group now. There's a lot of like friction, but they still have that like team, like let's go thing about them when they have an activity that they all need to contribute to. And I just admire it.
I'll play off that, Penny, and I'll say that I feel like this episode we saw them advance another step in their rituals and their dress,
mm-hmm.
getting us closer and closer to the cannibal council that we see in the pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, I think that Shauna is probably the Antler Queen.
I think you could be right. And I think we could also see a regime change at some point.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's going to be incredibly different.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Daphne? Point?
So I want to point out, numbers are a thing that I have become obsessed with this show, because I'm trying to keep track of the number of people that are still out in the wilderness. Right now, my number is at 14, and that comes from counting 12 people walking, including Coach, walking back to camp, and Travis and Lottie being at camp.
Yeah, that sounds
and so
right.
That is my, which if I do all the math in my head and look at my list, there should be one yellow jacket that we don't have a name for yet.
So there's 14 people. Four of them had to abstain from voting. So 10 people were voting.
Yep.
Yeah. Back to Penny.
Oh, I have a couple. The opening shot of the girls walking back to camp with Ben very closely mirrored the shot at the end of season 2 of the girls walking back to the cabin with Javi's dead body. Natalie was in the lead with a look on her face that was like shock and regret. And then, you know, when it was Javi, they were carrying him on a pole. But in this case, Coach was on his crutches right behind her. And I just thought that that was really like just great visual storytelling to sort of mimic that moment again.
I enjoyed some pieces of the trial that I thought were pretty funny, entertaining. One of them was the Misty, I'm building a narrative. Loved that. Yeah. And the other was when Ty asked Nat for a redirect, and Nat whispered, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, there were pieces that were really entertaining.
A couple of other songs that we heard in this episode. During the time that Ty and Van were playing cards and trying to get someone to choose themselves, a song called Fresh Blood by the Eels was playing, and the lyrics, I think, fit what was happening. And then when we get Ty and Van buying pretzels, Linger by the Cranberries was playing.
Somebody must really like the Cranberries.
That song mm-hmm. could not be more appropriate mm-hmm. to Ty and Van's relationship.
Really? I mean, I noticed, though, when Van was paying for the pretzels, her hand was shaking.
Yeah. And she said to Ty, Ty's like, something wrong with your hand. And she goes, oh, the adrenaline from the day. I'm like, no, something else is going on.
No, something mm-hmm. else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like, maybe she hurt her hand when she murdered Lottie.
I mean, it could have been, I mean.
It could have been any of them.
It could have been any of them. It's not Jeff.
No.
Who isn't it? It's not Jeff.
It's not Randy.
The only person.
And it's not Randy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's Callie.
Right.
Yeah. So there are three.
Although Callie would be more suspicion than Jeff and Randy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think Callie's more capable. I just don't think Lottie is someone she would kill.
Right.
Like she's not done getting information from Lottie yet.
Right. But their newfound relationship would definitely put her in the list.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I think as far as motive, Shauna not wanting Callie to know anymore.
And just not wanting Lottie near her kid at all.
Gives her a motive to be the one that took her out.
I mean, she put that necklace on Shauna. And what the girls recognize that necklace to mean is that you're next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, she put the necklace on Callie. And so if I'm Shauna, maybe I'm taking that as a threat. Would Shauna kill to protect her child? You know
absolutely.
She would.
Absolutely.
Absolutely she would.
No question in my mind.
Yeah. And that's I hadn't really thought about that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Also, Lottie's reaction to the drawing that Travis is holding. And it's so, at least I took it as, here's Javi and Jackie. And who was the third body? Why can't
the baby.
I remember?
Baby.
The baby. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll redo that. I think it's so obvious that it's Javi, Jackie, and the baby, and his body buried right in front of it.
That's really interesting.
That's not what I took from it at
Me
all.
Me neither. But when you say that, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. What did you take from it?
I was thinking that they were going to burn him, kill him.
I thought it was the cannibal council. He said it's the outcome. I was like, outcome of the trial or the outcome of like your time in the wilderness?
I don't know. Now you're making me question it, but I thought that that's exactly what it was okay, he's going to be buried right in front of him. They're going to kill him and bury him. And
I don't think they would bury Ben next to those three that they think are like guarding them, right? They think that that Jackie and Javi are like their, you know, guardian spirits and whatever they think the baby is doing.
Oh, they might turn it to be that was meant to save them. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the big question is, are they going to kill Coach? And then if they kill him, are they going to eat him?
And who's going to kill him? Because it's one thing to vote for it, and it's another thing to kill somebody physically. Mm-hmm. Although I do think Shauna's capable of it at this point.
She couldn't do it to Nat, but...
Well,
yeah.
Would she have done it if Travis hadn't stopped her?
We don't know.
Right?
Yeah. She hesitated.
Paused.
That's all we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Travis just seems so spaced out.
Well, they called the episode 12 Angry Girls and 1 Drunk Travis.
I didn't think he was drunk.
He didn't seem drunk. He just seemed out of it.
We didn't see him drinking.
No.
But maybe he was. I don't understand why that was in the title.
Is he still under the shroom influence, maybe?
He shouldn't be if he didn't take any more, because they burn out of your system. Like, the high effect lasts like 6 hours, and then there's a sort of after effect that lasts like 24 hours. So he should be clear of it by now, but
he seems quite diminished this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got his little hammock area separate from the girls, where he has like Javi's drawings, and he was holding the wooden wolf that Javi carved. Like, I think he's in a really bad place, but in a completely different way from Shauna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, more internally focused.
He's like, barely there. Like,
yeah.
He's not present.
Well, I think, he's dealing with the trauma of his brother being allowed to die.
Yeah.
And eating.
And eating him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and he feels really bad about it. And he's just sitting there staring at Javi's drawings. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Just thinking about his brother. And probably spending a lot of time being like, I should have been nicer to him when he was alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I should have protected him from our shitty dad. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Guilt, guilt, guilt.
There's a lot of guilt and pain on this show. And grief.
Yep. And anger.
Lots of things. I mean, Shauna. Yeah. I think Shauna is still very affected by not only her baby's death, but Jackie's death, and feeling responsible and not having a place to channel any of that. She's channeling it into this rage and anger that she has, you know, it's just added to it and built up.
Yeah.
I did feel like Melissa and Shauna pretty much outed themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, Misty did say, well, you could go either way. I don't think that's
cute.
What she was referring to, or maybe it was, but I thought, oh, yeah, you have no idea. Okay.
Yeah. Although just holding hands isn't the same as like kissing or something, but it certainly revealed that they have some kind of connection now nobody would have ever thought they had before.
Right.
Yeah.
Van is really mean to Misty when they're talking about who, you know, is going to be the defense lawyer, and they look at Misty. Van is like, he's your boyfriend, right? She's always needling her about that.
She is.
And even in like the adult timeline, when they were at the retreat and Misty was talking about Walter, and she's like, I guess he's my boyfriend. And Van was like, does he know that? Like, let it go, Van. It's mean. It's unnecessary and it's mean.
Right.
And just like drop it. I don't know why she can't let go of that one particular thing that she
Vance
needs to like
pretty
be mean
hard
about.
and sharp in the younger timeline. Like the way she talked to Travis after they killed or after they let Javi die was terrible as well. Like,
yeah,
she's really got a hard edge to her, except when it comes to Ty. Pretty much everybody else gets that. And Lottie. Everybody yeah. else gets the hard Van.
It's just unnecessarily mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, she had a crush, and she was a young person with a crush. Like,
anyway. And he told her that he had feelings for her as well.
Yeah, and well, yeah, there was...
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it.
It's time for a listener feedback. Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Dre Manoni says, I liked Teen Shauna more in this episode than the first two. Oh, these are about episode three, by the way, just to be clear, not the episode we just talked about, because we are a little bit ahead. All right. I liked Teen Shauna more in this episode than the first two. She seemed like she had more control over her emotions, but an interesting parallel to adult Shauna, who seems to be lashing out, both with Misty and Lottie, understandably so. This episode definitely takes me to some supernatural vibes, but maybe they are just poison induced.
Oh,
laugh cry right. emoji.
All right, we got a call from Steve Brown.
Hello, Yellow Jackets WTF. This is Steve. And before I start this week, I have to say two things. First off, I guess there wasn't a clip of Ben propping the doors shut, so we're not sure who burned the cabin down. And second, did Shauna really spit in that girl's food? I don't think she did. Okay, here we go with season three, episode three. That's the breaks. There's the breaks. What? Okay, after the previous song, we start with, is that Mari, right, Mari? And she's making up her own lyrics to I'm Too Sexy for This. Yeah, Mari, you're not Keith Lynch coach that you're into him, no matter what nostalgia you try to bring up. And now they've maced each other. Crazy. Oh, so we do find out that according to Van's blood work, her cancer is not metastasizing. Coach Ben, you've seen Dave Matthews and you don't even like him that much. Okay, we're back to the weird sound from the jungle in the wilderness. Oh, good point, Mari. How can he keep you for very long? Yeah, I don't know. This Coach Ben, Mari, it's going to be an interesting situation to see what's going on, how it finishes. And Lottie's got something in the present day timeline of something going on. Oh, and Lottie's encouraging Callie to steal. Okay, yeah, Van, they could be wrong, but they could be right, too, that you're healed or healing. But, yeah, I don't know. And she's confirmed the waiter did die, and maybe it's a gift. And Shauna's figured out that Misty was the cause of all of this. Of course, so what's the paranoia here? I don't know. And Shauna's picking up on all the things that Misty, this has all been Misty's fault. Now Lottie and Callie are making dinner for Shauna and Jeff. The necklace Callie has, is that the necklace from Pit Girl? That doesn't look, that's not right. But Shauna's got a pretty extreme reaction to it. And apparently, Thaisa has the entire Pee Wee Herman show on tape. And now Ty wants to go to this ice cream shop? What? Okay, so Van and Thaisa are experiencing some weird thing in this ice cream palace. What? The teenagers have found something? What? And there's that sound again. This was going to take multiple watchings to understand.
Yes.
Yes.
Agreed.
We all watched it multiple times.
Yes. This is not a show that you could watch only once. I watch it once to enjoy it, and then the next two times are notes and making sure I didn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So Jeffrey Ashton says, it's becoming obvious to me that Melissa is a red herring, and it's pretty funny with all the meta stuff like, you have a personality. They're not developing her character at all. I kind of think the casting of Hilary Swank is a misdirection of some sort, too. Oh, well, I'm interested.
It's possible.
Yeah, where we go with this, because we haven't seen her yet.
Yeah, my bet is still Melissa. This feedback is from Lisa Spare. Did anyone clock that the song Lottie and Callie were dancing to in the kitchen, Make Your Own Kind of Music, was the song used in the Lost episode 1 of season two when they introduced Desmond in the hatch. Apparently, it's also used in Dexter. I haven't seen that. I don't think that's just a coincidence.
I did not clock that.
No.
And that's such an iconic scene for Lost because it starts out on season two, spoiler alerts. It starts out on season two and it looks completely different. You're like, wait,
where are
what
we?
Am I? Is this a show from the 60s? What am I watching? And that music is playing behind it. And I do think it's probably an ode to Lost. There's probably a lot of
I bet there's a
Lost
bunch of
fans on the writer's team. And
yeah, I bet there's a bunch of stuff that we haven't picked up on that are like little nods to Lost.
Yep. All right. Now we have a call from Jenny Ryan.
Hello, Yellow Jackets friends and family. Just one little thing I wanted to say about the episode three. When Callie and Lottie are dancing in the kitchen to the song Make Your Own Kind of Music by Cass Elliot, Mama Cass. And I was a little worried because I've always, ever since Lost, I have a hard time trusting shows that like to get complicated and then they don't actually answer any other questions and it's disappointing. And when I heard that song, I got worried because that is the song that, I mean, I don't know how many of you watched Lost, but it is a song that features prominently in one of the storylines. Anyway, I was like, oh no, it's a Lost Easter egg and they're telling us they have no plan and no roadmap. So I hope that isn't true. Okay, bye.
I hope that's not true.
Oh man, no.
And that's so funny because we did not set that up.
No, yeah. Back to back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Jason Patag wrote in and said, did anyone catch what shoes Akilah was wearing in her cave hallucination? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. The pink Converse! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Oh my gosh.
Who was it? Was it Akilah?
Akilah was wearing the pink Converse. Wow. Didn't one of you clock that? I didn't.
I did not. Oh my gosh.
I must have seen it online somewhere then. Yeah, the pink Converse.
I've kind of stopped looking for them.
Yeah, me too.
Because I always thought it was Van, which it still could be.
Right, because they all trade clothes around.
You wouldn't think they'd trade shoes, but you never know.
Yeah. If someone's no longer with us.
Yeah. Jason goes on to say, they are clearly seen just as she begins to disappear in the sinkhole / quicksand. Also, the straight blonde-haired woman that seems to be stalking Shauna and Callie had me immediately thinking about the political queenmaker Ty met with at the fancy dinner party in season one. There's a straight-haired blonde woman stalking Shauna and Callie?
Kind of. You don't see a lot of hair, but there's like blondish hair.
Okay, so just barely any information.
Yeah.
Interesting. At the nursing home? Or
No, just outside their house at one point. There's someone looking in at Callie.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a shot looking in the window, but I didn't notice hair. I thought it was just like a POV shot.
Yeah, no, there's a little bit of hair. Anna S. says, greetings from Ukraine.
Welcome from Ukraine.
I'm very interested in an adult Ty Van storyline this season. It seems that they will murder some people in future episodes, and isn't it exciting? Also probably will be behind heartbreaking deaths. My bet is that the people who will die this season is Coach Ben, Walter, Jeff, Hillary Swank, and the Joel McHale characters. Also, I think that adult Lottie or adult Van may die this season.
Well, you were right about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a question in the Gas Wilderness Hallucination Dream. Van, Shauna, and Akilah saw a man with no eyes. People who are aware of other Ty, Akilah is under question, but it's very interesting that they saw him. Also, wouldn't adult Van have some reaction to that commercial as well? She looked odd about it. What if man with no eyes is wilderness? Cannot wait for more. Quite anxious about multiple deaths this season. Also, I don't think that Hillary Swank is an adult Melissa or any of the Yellow Jackets. Some interesting theories in that email.
Also, if Jeff dies, we riot.
Oh, my goodness. We.
I think Jeff needs to start a book club.
Yes.
But thank you. We're really hoping and praying for everybody in Ukraine. So thank you, like, for responding, and we hope you're well.
Yeah, and please write in again if you're interested. We'd love to have you write in more and hear some more of your theories.
Yeah, you have interesting ideas, Anna.
Mm-hmm. Chris Seth says, okay, I've really enjoyed this show, especially the balance between is it magic or is it mental? And the vast majority of the writing has been great. Now, of course, comes the but. But I don't buy Shauna letting Lottie crash at their home at all. They were on opposite ends of everything in the wilderness, often to the point of real anger. Then Lottie leads them into really doing this in chasing, hunting Shauna at the cult. But Shauna needs barely any convincing to let this woman stay over. Plus, Callie is now Lottie curious, even though she just felt the need to shoot Lottie to protect her mom from her. Callie wanting to know more about her mom's naked and afraid escapade. Check. Callie randomly turning to the troubled woman who just put her mom in harm's way. Get the fuck out of here. Especially in the brand new context of Callie's blood, guts, and raw meat defense of Shauna's honor. I can suspend my disbelief for the purpose of a lot of narrative, but Shauna letting Lottie sleep over was a huge eye roll at the writers. First time I felt like this show's writing was shoehorned. Love the pod. Thanks for being my let's get weird earhole friends. LOL.
Aw, thanks, Chris.
It's hilarious. Yeah, we do get weird here. Alyssa Uranga, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, says, love it, so wild. Lost and Twin Peaks influences, but definitely Yellow Jackets. Was it poisonous gas or was it the wilderness? Was it Misty sabotaging Shauna's car out of desperation? Or was it Walter or even adult Melissa? So good. Glad you're enjoying it.
Alicia Stout says, listening to the podcast now on this episode, correct me if I'm wrong, but I swear back in season one or two, whenever they had the high school reunion, inside the hallway of the high school, there was a cabinet. Inside the cabinet was an in memoriam area with photos of those deceased from the crash. Wasn't Coach Ben one of those photos? I have to go back as soon as we're done recording and look for that scene and see if I can.
Yeah,
because I don't remember us ever pointing that out or noticing.
I didn't think it was in memoriam, though.
I think it was everyone who was in the crash.
Yeah, that's what I had thought, but I could also be wrong. Daphne, please let us know.
I will. I'm going to, as soon as we're done, I'm going right back to check that out.
All right. Keisha Kathia says, my running theories. First, the screaming animal calls that everyone keeps hearing are actually people looking for them. They are so caught up in the what's going on within the group that it warps reality. The screaming animal calls in the dark are a search party, and this ties back into that they're closer to civilization than they think. My second one is that noise that they keep hearing could also be the sound of drilling, because we see that they are close to a huge deposit of iron ore. Based on the blood red river and the crazy magnetic field. It could be one of the reasons, weather and inaccurate flight instruments, why the plane crashed in the first place. Is it a coincidence that the noise stops when Nat shoots the gun? Maybe the people drilling hear the gun shot and stop to listen. How messed up would it be if it all turns out that they were, at best, a few days' walk from civilization?
That would be so heartbreaking.
Oh, man.
Not unlike what happened in the movie Alive or Society of the Snow. They weren't that far from civilization.
Right.
Or from a hotel or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I have another voicemail from Jenny Ryan. And this one covered episodes 1 and 2. We just got it in late last week.
Jenny here from Saskatoon. I have tried to record this a million times to get it under 2 minutes. I'm going to keep trying. There's just a lot to say. Yellow Jackets, episodes 1 and 2, here we go. First, I should tell you that while Pa Dame, spelled D-A-M-E, does in fact mean not a lady, the way it's spelled at the restaurant is Pa Dame with an apostrophe after the D, which means no soul. Isn't that fun? I also think that Van is going to be in remission because of the waiter you're dying. I think they gave the wilderness a soul. They gave the wilderness the waiter. And so now they get Van's life back. I think that's why she was at the doctor for so long. I think that it's weird that Coach says he didn't know about the cabin burning down, because if Nat has been helping him and meeting up with him, then she would have told him. So, like, is he lying, or did Nat not tell him for some reason? Also, I think Ben was talking to whoever in the weird tree root house, the underground home where he lives, because that's where Javi was living. And Javi said that there was a lady who told him not to come back. So I'm assuming that Ben and Javi were talking to the same lady, whether she's real or mystical or some sort of an entity. I don't know. Maybe she's the one screaming. I also wanted to tell you that in Northern Canada, it does get very warm in the summer. So it can get really, really hot. So extreme weather, extremes up here. So we have extreme hot and extreme cold. So absolutely, they would be warm. And also, I think that the reason they're going to go back to cannibalism is because somehow Akilah's going to overdose or something on mushrooms, or run into a, I don't know if you can even overdose on mushrooms, but something's going to go wrong with the mushrooms. And then they're going to lose all their animal food. And so then they're going to turn to each other. And to that end, I believe, prediction, that there's going to be a schism, and it's going to be Coach and Nat and Mari and on one side, and then Shauna on another side. Because I think that one will be eating people and one will not be eating people. Okay, that's it. That's 2 minutes. Oh, my God. Okay, goodbye.
Oh, thank you, Jenny. It's okay if you go a little over 2 minutes. Truly, we value what you have to say.
Absolutely.
I was thinking, like, how fucked up would it be if they go to cannibalism when they have other food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so curious to see what they do with Coach. Because if they...
That's a different level.
If they kill him and then eat him...
When they have plentiful food.
When they have ducks and stuff, yeah, that's disturbing as anything.
That's really bad.
Well, and they're naming the animals.
Yeah.
We learned on Walking Dead, you shouldn't do that.
No. Like, oh dear.
Megan O'Connell writes in, I kept thinking about the Daryl Dixon finale with the bat fever dreams on this last episode. You know, it's funny. I didn't specifically think about Daryl Dixon, but I was like, is it safe to eat those bats? Like, don't a lot of diseases come from bats?
Rabies.
Yeah, like scary to eat bats. I don't know. Apparently Coach has been fine, but I did think about that.
I think other animals eating bat droppings can cause a lot of bacterial problems, viral problems. I think a lot of that's been traced back to
the bat guano,
different diseases that we have.
Gross.
Yeah.
Jennifer McGinley says, past timeline is way better than current, which feels really disjointed and lost.
I would agree with mm-hmm. that.
Yeah,
I was more invested in the past timeline. I think
it's funny, though, because in season two, I think it was a little bit the other way around for me.
I don't think it. I think season one, they were pretty even. Mm-hmm. But since season one, I think I've been more invested in the previous timeline.
I thought the cult was really both... fascinating last season. Yeah. I was into that. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we have a voicemail from Daniela.
Hey guys, it's Daniela again, your bestie. But I already called and I left a really long message. I tried to keep it short. I'm only calling back for one thing. I was just rewatching the episode and I had not paid close attention to the intro. Now I'm watching for every little detail and I noticed it looks like someone finds the box, like the recording box in the airplane that Misty bashed in. I don't know if you guys noticed this. I'm sure you did. But I bet the girls find it all beat up. And it doesn't look like plane crash beat up. Like, it's going to be bashed in, like, purposely. So maybe you guys were right. I know you talked about, will the girls find out her secret? And I think they might. I thought this was kind of done and over with and buried and she would die with this secret. But I'm pretty sure somebody finds it. Did you guys see that part? What other things did you notice in the intro? Okay, bye.
Now I'm going to do that. I've got a list going now of all the things I need to go do.
Got homework to do, Daphne.
Yep.
Yeah,
I would think it fell out of a plane, so it being beat up seems like it would be not suspicious, but I do think that is going to come out, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
Because how could they ever forgive her? But they've all done so much that it's just one other thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we have one more piece, Wendy.
Piece of feedback. So our last piece of feedback is from Robin Mark. She writes, I could watch all of them doing absolutely nothing and still enjoy it because I think the show is that good. I'm definitely more interested in the 90s timeline, but I feel like that's by design to an extent. My one gripe, young Van scars look like someone drew them on with a pen. Surely they can make them look more like scars. I just want to say, like, the acting with the trial, Ty, Misty, Shauna.
Yeah.
And Nat.
And Mari.
And Mari. Like, they were all so good. These girls have a big futures in front of them. They are amazing.
Yeah. They really
absolutely
are.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not dismissing the older actors because they're amazing too, but just from these young unknowns is really amazing. All right. That is our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Next up will be Yellowjackets Season 3, Episode 5. Did Ty do that? Just a hilarious title.
I know. I can't read it without, yeah.
Yeah, I hear Urkel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it could be so many different things. Did Ty do what? Yeah. Did she kill Lottie?
Did she burn the cabin?
Yeah.
So many things.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about Yellowjackets, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
While you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. I'm watching White Lotus right now, really enjoying it, really liking the podcast. It's more episodes this season, so it does seem to be like they're building up a little slower, but I trust Mike White and I'm in.
Yeah, I agree. White Lotus is so much fun, and the podcast is hilarious. I really enjoy the chemistry that those three bring to it. It's really been great.
Yeah.
There are so many Podcastica podcasts. I can't possibly listen to all of them, but whenever I listen to any of them, they're always good.
Yeah.
Daphne, what do you have going on Run for Your Lives?
Last week we did Nosferatu. This week we're doing Alien Romulus. We did a couple of movies that have been nominated for Oscars. And so with Oscars coming up this weekend, it was just something we've started doing every year because Paik does the death race to try to watch every single Oscar nominated film. And so Wow. we try to find some that fit within our genre. Mm-hmm. So we try That's to do great. That. Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. Thanks, everybody. That's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Buzz, 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 buzz.